WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's time for Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Sully's College Football Page is brought to you by Hilltop Auto Wrecking, Advantage Insurance, the U.S. Army, Tommy's Express Car Wash, Dwayne's Cover It All, Buck's Golf Shop, Jim Kreshock Jewelry, The Travel Leaders, Sun Printing, Lobnose, the Eye Clinic of Wisconsin, Peterson Kramer Funeral Home, Mentner Hardwoods, Krasowski Dental, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, April Rosemurgy EXP Realty, France Propane, Subway, Webco of Wausau, Kuhn Hearing Center, Carmelo's and Rip Mountain Golf Course, The Dirks Group, The Intermission Lounge, St. Vincent de Paul, The Brokaw Credit Union, Trap River Golf Course, The Central Wisconsin School of Ballet, Red Clover Market, Charlie's Bar, Zillman's, Joe Raider Towing, Mountain Bay Auto Care, The Mint Cafe, The North End Pub, Big Fat Design, The U.S. Navy, The People's State Bank, Kemp Service, Newman Catholic Schools, and Champion Insurance. It's time now for Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And good morning, and welcome to another edition of Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is Saturday, January the 4th of 2025. The college football playoff is down to its final four. The bowl season continues as we head down the stretch of the college football season. I am Chad Holmes, joined by the founder and editor of Sully's College Football Page.com, Dan Sullivan. Sully, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chad. Always uplifting to see you, man.
I tell you, it is a cold one here to start things off on this Saturday morning, but there's been plenty of interesting action as the Final Four, all four of the teams that got the first-round byes were eliminated in the quarterfinals. Now we'll get set for the semifinals coming up on Thursday and Friday nights, all leading up to the national championship game about a week and a half after that. But I guess we should jump right in because obviously it was four big games this week. It started on New Year's Eve, then had two games on New Year's Day, and then, of course, the postponed Sugar Bowl on January the 2nd. And starting off, I guess, with the New Year's Eve game, it was Penn State and Boise State. And despite the fact that Boise State was the higher seed, despite the fact that Boise State was the team that had the bye, Penn State was a significant favorite. And in the end, the boys in Vegas got that one right.
Yeah, you know, I think Penn State is a very, very balanced team. They have good running game. They have an all-universe kind of hybrid tight end. They have a very capable quarterback in Drew Aller and an excellent defense. And in the end, Chad, the schedule that Penn State plays in the Big Ten is clearly better than what Boise plays in the Mountain West. And although Boise, as you and I have often mentioned, played Oregon earlier in the year, had the lead in the fourth quarter. I believe they lost that game 36-33.
Last second field goal.
Yep, tight game. And played well. You know, I thought they kept after it. But you could clearly see from an athletic standpoint, Penn State has a lot of NFL players running around the field where Boise did not. They just had a bunch of tough guys that had high skill sets. But not quite the same athleticism, and in the end, Penn State got that done.
And Penn State is, I think you could say it about Ohio State as well, we'll talk about later on. Going into this playoff, I think for James Franklin, there was a pressure that they, you know, not only making the playoff, obviously now being expanded was important because they'd always been sort of on the outside looking in when it came to the playoff, the idea that they would have to do something. Now they've won back-to-back games, and
frankly, I think we're seeing I think some of the flaws of the playoff system, the way that, again, the brackets draw out, because I don't think they've really been tested so far. When you look at a playoff and you're facing SMU and Boise State, you're not right. exactly facing the biggest of the big boys. But at the same time, if Penn State would have lost one of those two games, it really would have put a lot of heat on James Franklin, and so far he has been able to get his team into the semifinals.
You know, he's one of those guys who the Rodney Dangerfield, you know, the lack of respect. You know, he when he was at Vandy, he, many people may not remember that or even know it, he won 9 games back-to-back. I think the last time Vandy won back-to-back 9 games was never. They had never done that.
May never do it again.
Yeah, they may not. You know, and what was being said was that the SEC East is way down. And so instead of giving Franklin some credit, it was basically he was able to do that because the East Division with Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, those teams were not playing at the same level. And then he comes to Penn State, and, you know, he has a 89 winning percentage,
yep.
and yet he's criticized because he can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. Or when he does beat him, it's rare. And so now he gets into the playoffs, and he's not playing anybody, you know, which has nothing to do with him or his team. It's just the way, as you and I have talked, the way this tournament has been mm-hmm. set up probably needs to be retooled. But nonetheless, Franklin is kind of a guy who gets very little respect. You know, you kind of quietly cheer for him because he has done very good work.
Then going on to New Year's Day, the first quarterfinal on New Year's Day itself was down in Atlanta at the Peach Bowl, and it turned out to be by far the best playoff game that we've seen so far. In fact, it's been rated among some of the best playoff games that we've ever seen in terms of because the way that it finished.
Yeah.
For much of the game, it did feel like Texas was in control. Then all of a sudden, Arizona State was able to come back, and they were one play away from making it into the semifinals, 4th and 13. But Texas
yes.
was able to make the play, keep the game alive, and then ultimately win it 39-31. Really, I mean, it was a gutsy effort on both sides, and you have to give great credit to Arizona State for not letting that game completely get away when it was a struggle for them to get the offense going for much of the game. Then once they did, they were able to really finish with a big kick. But then when Texas, they were put into the corner, and they were able to get off the canvas and find a way.
Yeah, well, you know, your third or 4th and 13, the game is over if you can make one more stop, and instead of that, they throw that touchdown pass.
And it seemed rather easy, didn't it?
Yes, you know, the field shrieks, obviously, vertically. And so, you know, you want to be able to deal with, you know, guys that are hooking or guys that are, you know, kind of flaring. And so you need to be up somewhat in the end zone. But you can't let a guy get 5 yards behind you. And, of course, those kids know that. They did it. And then it was like they were kind of in shock. And what happens is on the next play, they throw a touchdown pass because when it switched, Texas scored on the first play.
And then quickly it was over.
Yes, and then the interception is thrown and the game is over. So in like a minute and a half, you went from elation to, I can't believe this just happened.
Were you surprised that Texas wasn't able to put them away?
I'll tell you what, I was very surprised when they were up 24-8, and given the one constant for Texas has been their defense. They have been very good. Offensively, they are mightily struggling to run the ball. But in terms of their defense, I thought this game is pretty well resolved. They may not score again, but, you know, they're not going to allow them to score 16 unanswered. They did. That they did. So I was more than surprised about that. And then I have to tell you, I thought the game was over when Arizona State had them 4th and 13.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did this. So we're going to have, like, the Final Four in basketball, we're going to have a Cinderella with the Blue Bloods.
What about the running back? And I'm sorry, his name slips my mind at the start for Arizona.
Scarborough?
Yeah, what do you think of his performance?
As for the ages. I mean, it's 24-8, and he throws a touchdown pass on a halfback option. Then he has like a 64-yard run that the only way they could get him down was they tore his helmet off. And then he scores. Then he makes the two-point conversion when he's dead in the water. He just kept going, and it wasn't like this big scrum. You know, it was like him and a couple of guys from Texas, 300-pounders, that he just drove into the end zone. So his performance in that game was kind of one for the ages. You know, we got a guy at Ohio State doing the same thing, their receiver. But those two performances were absolutely top shelf.
So moving on is Texas, moving on is Penn State, and then in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day, number 8 seed against a number 1 seed, and in the end you would have thought it was the number 8 seed being the number 1 seed and the number 1 seed being the number 8 seed, because Ohio State came out and they took charge in the first half and never were threatened, and they ultimately were able to win 41-21 over Oregon. Not surprised that Ohio State won. I mean, you look back at the regular season, that was a game that they definitely could have won on the road. If you even look at Oregon during the course of the season, they were undefeated. The only team that was able to make it all the way through undefeated. They had plenty of close calls. I mean, if you look at how Wisconsin struggled coming down the stretch, and they could have easily beat Oregon late in the season. So in the end, I'm not shocked, but at the same time, kind of surprised that Ohio State was able to do pretty much what they wanted to in that first half.
Yeah, you know, they just came out and took it to them from the get-go. You know, Ohio State now looks to clearly be the best team in the tournament. You know, they came out and just blasted Tennessee out of the water, beat them, I think it was 42-17, and then they turned around this time 41-21. And the game, essentially, both those games, well, not so much to Tennessee, because I think at half it was 21-10, so Tennessee was hanging. But in this game, man, they got out on them right away and really never looked back. This is a very good team. I don't think anybody else in the tournament, you know, in the playoffs, could have done what Ohio State did to Oregon. I think Oregon is probably the next best team, or playing at the highest level next to Ohio State. And you saw the result of that.
And again, I think we may have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when the brackets came out. The whole idea of Oregon earning that number one seed, and they earned the number one seed this year. And then you look at that bracket and you realize their first playoff game could likely be against Ohio State, who I think, when you put it all together, is still the most talented team in college football. That was a little bit of bad luck for Oregon, wasn't it?
Oh, and you know, the way this has been planned, you and I knew back in August that this setting and how it could potentially work was flawed, you know, and no one anticipated. When they set it up, there were five Power Five programs. Yep. Now there's four. And I don't think anybody envisioned one of the group of five teams getting in front of one of the Power Four. So they thought the champions in each of these conferences will get not only an automatic berth, but a bye. Well, it didn't happen that way. And the reality is there are teams now in the Big Ten and there are teams in the SEC that are better than the conference champion of the ACC or the Big 12. And that proved itself to be true because they played, teams from other conferences that they could not beat.
I was actually thinking about that. If there was still a Pac-12, you would have had Oregon as the number one seed. In all likelihood, you would have had Penn State or Ohio State as the number two seed, because the conference would have been different. Ohio State may have won the conference because they beat Penn State, and ultimately they may not have had the issue with me. I mean, the whole season changes because of that loss to Oregon, and they may well have been the number two seed. Heck, they may have been the number one seed. They may have run the table. You never know that at this point. So you're exactly right, because the basic plans of the college football playoff were completely blown up with the blowing up of the Pac-12.
Right, and that's a good point, and I really hadn't thought about that. You know, the fact that Ohio State beat Penn State but then lost to Michigan, and one of Michigan's losses, I believe, was to Oregon.
Yes, it was.
You know, and so the reality here is, that shift changed in what turned out to be a negative way for Oregon, because now they win their conference. They win the championship game, and they get a bye, and their reward is that they play the best team in the tournament in the first game. So, yeah, it did not work out well for them. And people are now talking, Chad, about an all-Big Ten final. had Oregon had a different path, we still could have had an all-Big Ten final because of who they are.
And heck, if they would have had a different path, they could have had three of the final four be Big Ten teams as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of different trickle-down effects to what's going on there.
Exactly right.
And then finally, the final quarterfinal was pushed back from Wednesday to Thursday because of the tragic events in New Orleans on early New Year's Day. But in the end, it was Notre Dame beating Georgia 23-10, another game where the lower seed defeated the higher seed, but another game where actually the pre-kickoff favorite was the winner as well. I heard a lot of talk yesterday. Oh, is it a disadvantage or an advantage to not have to play in the first round? And I'm thinking, well, I mean, sure wasn't a disadvantage for Ohio State not to play in the Big Ten championship game. There was no rust for them when they got into the playoff. I just think it was a case where the better teams actually all won, and Notre Dame was the better team, weren't they?
I thought so. You know, in terms of the line of scrimmage, Notre Dame kind of took it to them. In fact, Chad, there was the way that game started, you had a sense that Notre Dame was in a hyper-aggressive setting. They, I don't know if you saw, had a chance to watch it, but the first punt that Georgia has, Notre Dame ran into the kicker. It was close to being roughened because he almost hit his leg. All right, so 5-yard penalty. So now Georgia's punting again. The same guy ran into the kicker again. I thought my son was going to lose his mind. But, you know, I'm thinking, this is telling you something.
The mindset.
Yes, about what the coaches, they went right after him again. And so you started to get a sense of Notre Dame. They were going to be the aggressors this time. They've gotten these games. They hadn't won a major bowl for the last 8 or 9 tries. And so they came out with a completely different mindset, and 10 penalties they had. Chad, we'll talk about the game later, but they were just after Georgia the entire time. And, as the game unfolded, it really came to fruition that they were there to get this one done.
How big was Georgia not having their starting quarterback?
You know, that's a good question, and I think a fair one. Carson Beck came in as one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. I mean, that was the perception of him at the start of the season. You basically told me to shut up about Jackson Dart, who I'm kidding, of course, but I thought was a better player. Carson Beck did not have a very good year this year. I mean, that's the best thing you can. He's a good, very good player, just didn't have a real good year. And I would say to you, Gunnar Stockton was hassled the entire game by Notre Dame. A Notre Dame team, by the way, that lost Riley Mills, their best interior defensive lineman. Gunner is a better runner than Beck. He's just more elusive. So I don't know how well Beck would have done in a game, given that Georgia's O-line struggled to protect a guy who's more mobile. And he did pass for over 232 yards or something to that effect, completed 63% of his balls. He was not the reason they lost. There were other factors here that really were more telling than the quarterback, in my opinion, change.
So that sets up the semifinals Thursday night, the Orange Bowl, Penn State and Notre Dame, and then Friday in the Cotton Bowl, Ohio State and Texas. And we'll talk more about those games coming
we
up
will.
A little bit later on in the program. And then, of course, Monday, January the 20th, is the college football playoff national championship game that will be played in Atlanta, where they have the Peach Bowl in the quarterfinals. Coming up next, we'll talk about some of the other games that have been going on, some of the best bowl games outside of the college football playoff. So that's coming up next here on Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
Choose an agency with true 5G coverage. Advantage Insurance of Wausau. Great companies, great agents, great service, great rates, and great claims results. At Advantage Insurance, they support our local community and back you always. Call Advantage Insurance today for all of your insurance needs or go to AdvantageInsuranceWausau.com. They offer top-rated coverage and the best agents that provide you a true 5G experience for the best total coverage for all your insurance needs.
Tommy's Express Car Wash at 102 Bridge Street in Wausau and 1611 Schofield Avenue in Weston has the tools and experience to keep your car clean inside and out. Our wash packages let you pay for the services you want, including Tommy Garden Body Wax, wheel cleaning and tire gloss, an underbody flush and spot-free rinse. Give your vehicle the cleaning it deserves at Tommy's Express at 102 Bridge Street in Wausau and 1611 Schofield Avenue in Weston.
Buck Welsh has been working in the golf business since 1976, became a PGA member in 1984, and has been teaching for over 40 years. His philosophy has always been to work with the individual golfer, building on the way they do things and making them better with what they have to work with. Call Buck at 715-581-2646 or check out the website www.bucksgolfshop.com to get more info about lessons.
Are you a young person looking for that great career opportunity? Well, discover your Army career. With more than 200 jobs ranging from ground forces to medicine, you can choose your career and shape the future you want. You'll get the skills and hands-on training you gain from a career in the U.S. Army that can't be matched anywhere else. You'll build strength and character, train to be successful in your chosen field, and become part of a tight-knit community. Whether you work in science, engineering, communications, or ground forces, you'll have an integral role in the Army's success. Talk to an Army recruiter today.
Big Fat Designs can give your company the cutting-edge look it needs to attract customers and stand out from the rest. From websites and print designs to logos and letterheads, Big Fat Designs is your effective and affordable marketing solution. E-commerce, online customer database, video and audio players, Big Fat Designs does it all. And the best part, you deal with someone locally to talk with, to meet with, working hands-on towards your success. Big Fat Designs in Wausau. Find out more online at BigFatDesigns.com.
Looking for a part for your vehicle? Look to Hilltop Auto Wrecking in Wausau. Hilltop Auto Wrecking can help you find just about any part you need for your car, truck, or SUV. They have a great selection of auto glass and tires with lots of sizes ready to go. Hilltop Auto Wrecking is always looking to buy vehicles, so if you're stuck with an older junker, they can haul it away for cash. Hilltop Auto Wrecking, family owned and operated for over 40 years at 237-934 Del Rio Road, formerly 6806 North 33rd Street, Wausau. Call 715-675-3250.
And welcome back. It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And, of course, a lot of focus has been on the college football playoff, but there's been a lot of other outstanding college bowl games going on outside of the CFP. And we're going to kind of break down 10 of the top bowl games and also going to take a look at how the Sully Game Simulator goes up against the folks over in Vegas in terms of the professionals in terms of picking some of these games.
Yeah, you know, and the simulator, as you know, Chad, is not set up to deal with point spreads. It just looks at numbers, and then based on an interactive kind of formula, it determines who should prevail in that game. And so what we did was we just took the teams that Vegas was saying we're favored and then we're giving points to the other team. So we just took it, not the points, but just Vegas said this team is going to win and they're going to win by this many. So that was the setting as we begin this.
All right, let's jump right in. And it started with the Rate Bowl on December 26th, where Kansas State beat Rutgers by a score of 44-41. What did you find out in the battle there?
Okay, well, the Vegas said that Kansas State would win the game by 6.5, so they were saying Kansas State is going to win this game,
right?
Obviously straight up. The simulator agreed. It said that Kansas State would win in its system. Of the eight categories assessed, it would win 7-1. And so after the first game, it's tied. Simulator Vegas won it 1-0.
Then on December 27th, it looks like the simulator got one over on the Vegas folks in the Armed Forces Bowl, where Navy upset Oklahoma 21-20.
It absolutely did. And I have to tell you, I was not with the simulator in this game. I thought Oklahoma would find a way. You know, Venables being the kind of the defensive guru, I thought he'd have a good plan against Navy. He struggled with them. And Navy won that game 21-20. But anyway, the simulator had Navy winning big 7-1, where Oklahoma was given Navy 3. So after two games here, the simulator is 2-0, and Vegas is 1-1.
Well, Vegas got one back then also on December 27th at the Holiday Bowl when Syracuse beat Washington State 52-35. The simulator, some of the numbers apparently got mucked up in there.
Well, the simulator thought Washington State would win this game in the eight categories of sex assessed. They thought that Washington would prevail in six. Didn't happen, and so now after this game, the simulator is now 2-1, and so are the boys and girls in the desert 2-1.
Birmingham Bowl, no respect for Vanderbilt. They beat Georgia Tech 35-27, and neither the simulator or Vegas thought that was going to happen.
Right, the simulator thought that Georgia Tech would beat them close. 5-4, but nonetheless, you know, when you see if it's 8, how can that add up to 9? The reason is the simulator will award a point either side when it's a push. So now we are, we're now at 2-2. So Vegas with its favorite and the simulator identifying a winner. They are 2-2 after 4.
And then the Las Vegas Bowl, where USC was able to edge Texas A&M. In that one, again, the favorite fell in terms of both the simulator and in Las Vegas.
Exactly right. You know, the simulator thought Texas A&M was a 3-point favorite in Vegas. And so now, shockingly, because you hear a lot of talk about how good these people are in the desert, it is now both simulator and Vegas 2-3 in straight up picks.
And then on December 28th, everybody's favorite, the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and it was a terrific game with a couple of ranked teams going right down to the nub. Iowa State defeated Miami 42-41, and again, it was a rough one for both the simulator and for Las Vegas.
Both, Miami was a 4-point favorite, and the simulator was all over Miami, 6-2 over Iowa State, and so now we are... After six games, both Vegas and the simulator are 2-4.
It continues on that downhill slide in the Alamo Bowl, where BYU defeated Colorado in a battle of Big 12 teams, 36-2. What did Colorado have in that game? You don't have it down.
Yeah, I didn't write the score.
Well, apparently BYU won the game. That's what we need to know.
Yeah, they did. It was like 32-, I don't think. It was real close. I think it was 32-14 or something.
Okay, so BYU finished off a very good season with that win over prime time Deion's Colorado Buffalo. And again, both the simulator and Vegas, they were on Coach Prime's side.
Yes, you know, and so you're looking at Vegas in terms of its favorite 2-5, and the simulator is right there with them at 2-5.
Then it was the Music City Bowl. And a much higher scoring game than one would expect involving the Iowa Hawkeyes. But in the end, Missouri able to find a way, 27-24. And in this case, both the simulator and Las Vegas was giving it to the SEC team.
Yes, Missouri was the favorite by 3. Simulator liked them in 5 of the 8 categories. And so now, after 8 games, both the simulator and Vegas are 3-5.
And then there was plenty of action on New Year's Eve. And one of the games that was probably one of the biggest surprises was Michigan and Alabama. Michigan, of course, had a rough go of it until they earned that big win against Ohio State. And boy, they have to feel good going into the offseason, beating Ohio State and then beating Alabama. And in this case, not to be shocked, Alabama was the pick of both the simulator and for Las Vegas.
Yeah, Bama was a 10-point favorite. The simulator liked them in 6 of the 8 categories. And yet, Michigan missing all of those guys. And that line was established before you found out that Johnson and Loveland and Graham and all those kids weren't playing. So it would have been more in terms of Bama being favored. But now after 9 games, Vegas and the simulator are 3-6 in picking winners.
Then the Sun Bowl, Louisville and Washington. And both the simulator and also Las Vegas was saying Louisville was going to win it, and in the end they were both correct.
Yeah, and a similar closeness in terms of the outcome. Louisville was only a 2.5-point favorite, and the simulator had it 5-3, and closer than even that suggests, because Washington went for 2 after they got a 36-35 and missed. Mm-hmm. So very good game, hotly contested, and yet both the simulator and the boys and girls in the desert liked Louisville.
Then it was in Orlando, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Talk about intense. It was intense. South Carolina and Illinois, and both the simulator and Vegas was betting against Bielema, and Bielema wins again.
Yeah, you know, this one was really one of the bigger surprises of the bowl season, in that I thought South Carolina, you know, I've said to you many times, and now I'm going to have to go stand in a corner and count to 5, that they may have been the third best team at the end in the SEC with what they were doing. But I'll tell you, Bielema, on any sub-exchange, Bielema would have his guy snail, you know, onto the field. And South Carolina had a call on one of those, a timeout for the game clock or the play clock expiring. And so that's got to be something that needs to be looked at, because – and that really aggravated Beamer, and then they got into a shouting match. It was something else.
But in the end, Bielema wins. It's all.
And now we got a tie. Yeah, your guy. I know you like him, as do I. Anyways, 4-7. So neither one of them are tearing it up. All right, and so now we're down to the last game of these 12 that we ended up identifying.
And it was the Texas Bowl, and it was LSU beating Baylor 44-31. And this, to explain what this one was, because it was a little bit different.
This one, you know, when I looked at it before I did, you know, before I entered all the data into the simulator to find out what it was, I was confident that the simulator would say that LSU was going to win this one, as LSU was favored by a point. So Vegas was saying this is going to be a close game. You know, 1 point, LSU is the favorite. The simulator did something that I did not expect. It tied the game at 4 categories apiece. And so the simulator's reaction in the biggest moment of this comparison said flip a coin. So the simulator basically backed out of the last game. So Vegas prevailed. They were 5-7 picking winners, and the simulator was 4-7-1. So it was a good duel, but in the end, the boys and girls in the desert prevailed.
And finally, I guess before we wrap up this segment, you look at a lot of those games, there were a lot of really competitive games, weren't there?
I got to tell you, you know, I tried to look at games I thought would be fun to watch and would be they did not disappoint. That game between Illinois and South Carolina, those guys were after each other, as were their coaches. Now, to their credit, both of them, they shook hands and exchanged a few words, didn't look hostile, just in a way they went.
They probably won't play each other again anytime soon.
Yeah, probably not. You know, and I wonder if there were some issues when Bielema was at Arkansas. You know, I don't know. But nonetheless, that was a good game. That Missouri-Iowa game, that was a great game. You know, it ended up 27-24. Iowa, you know, kind of controlled it for the most part. What Michigan did, fantastic. I mean, I gave them virtually no chance in that game. They just went out and took care of business. Really, really a great win for the Big Ten. You know, Baylor had come in winning six straight. And made some noise against LSU, but just too much athleticism on LSU's side.
We'll take a timeout and come back, talk a little bit about what the Group of Five has been up to during bowl season as well. So that's straight ahead. Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
For over 30 years, Webco has worked with corporations, schools, organizations on their apparel and promotional needs. Webco can handle small quantities to orders in the thousands with a fast turnaround. Webco of Wausau, 1405 West Thomas Street. You don't have to choose between personal, hometown service, and the latest banking technology. Brokaw Credit Union has it all. Whether you're looking to finance your first home, grow your savings, or get a new set of wheels, we're here to help. Check us out at brokawcu.com.
Pratt River Golf Course in Wausau is a unique 18-hole public course. The relaxed atmosphere and breathtaking Northwood scenery is sure to make your golfing day a satisfying experience. For membership information and tee times, call Pratt River Golf Course at 715-675-3044. Thinking about changing to organic or natural foods? Then you need to stop at Red Clover Market at the Total Rental location in Weston. Family-owned Red Clover Market, your healthy natural food store. Open Monday through Saturday.
Eye Clinic of Wisconsin believes that clear vision and hearing are priceless. Eye Clinic of Wisconsin is equipped to handle all your eye and hearing care needs. When you need specialty and surgical eye care, why not work with the best? Let the team of professionals at Eye Clinic of Wisconsin see you. Eye Clinic of Wisconsin has seven convenient locations that include Wausau, Antigo, Medford, Merrill, Rhinelander, Stevens Point, and Wisconsin Rapids. Visit their Facebook page or website at www.iclinicwi.com. Eye Clinic of Wisconsin, one vision, yours.
Knowing the value of your home can be important for a variety of reasons. Hi, I'm April Rosemurgy with eXp Realty. I'd be happy to provide you with an estimated value of your home. I want to be the person you think of when it comes to real estate, whether that be buying, selling, or investing. If you'd like to know the value of your home, simply go to aprilrosemurgy.exprealty.com and click on What's My Home Worth? Again, that's aprilrosemurgy.exprealty.com and click on What's My Home Worth?
Chief, we've got a situation.
What is it?
Trouble at the naval base, sir. I'll put it on the screen.
Jiminy Christmas, what happened to all our boat covers?
That's not the worst of it, sir.
No!
Afraid so, sir.
Not the boat upholstery, too. All those holes? It looks like Swiss cheese.
It's funny you mention that, sir. We found the culprit.
All right, Mouse, who are you working for? The Russians? Take him to the brig and get Agent Dwayne from CIA on the horn now.
Dwayne's covered off. Dwayne speaking.
Agent Dwayne, your country needs you. A terrorist Mouse has chewed up every single boat cover and piece of upholstery in the Navy.
I'll patch up what I can and replace what I can't.
Agent Dwayne, you're a great American.
Just doing my job.
Boat covers, seat upholstery, camper, deck, or patio awnings. When you need something covered or upholstered, call the CIA. Dwayne's cover it all. Commercial accounts are welcome. Call or email Dwayne. Visit Dwayne'sCoverItAll.com.
The Navy Reserve Officer Training Corps Scholarship Program provides financial support for college students pursuing a degree while training to become a commissioned officer in the United States Navy or Marine Corps. Students who applied in the cycle last year had a 71% selection rate. Deadline to apply is January 31st for regular ed students.
Scholarship benefits include full tuition, $750 annual book stipend, $250 to $400 monthly allowance. Education requirements, SAT minimum 1100, math 540, and English 550. ACT minimum 22 English and 21 math, AFQT 81. 160 plus colleges, including 23 minority serving institution scholarship reservation, open to all majors, including nursing and pre-med. For more information, contact Senior Chief Dustin Coons and his email, dustin.a.coons.mil@us.navy.mil. Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO. And let's dig a little bit deeper into what these conferences are doing, starting with the group of five in terms of a lot of bowl games going on and a lot of teams involved in bowl games. And let's talk about how some of the outside the Power Four are doing in the bowls.
Yeah, we took a look this time at teams that are part of the group of five that have played, you know, either Power Four opponents or other conference group of five teams. We also looked at how the simulator did predicting these games. Now, remember, when we did that last segment, a lot of Power Four teams were involved. This is pretty much just a focus on the five group of five conferences. And so we can start, Chad, with the AAC.
Yep, the AAC, the American, and not surprising, doing well in terms of what they've been able to accomplish. They've been able to win six of the eight games, but again, this is a conference that always has a great balance in terms of some of the very good teams, teams that are either in or knocking on the top 25 in the national rankings, and frankly, not surprised that this conference in these bowl games, often against other group of five leagues, is doing pretty well.
Yeah, they came out, true to form, 6-2. They lost two games, so we'll emphasize, since that's fewer, we can get to the heart of it. Tulane lost to Florida 33-8, and the other loss occurred just the last day or two. Texas State beat North Texas in an outstanding game, 30-28. Now, the simulator, we're also going to look at what the simulator has done here. And of the eight games that were played by the American, the simulator went 7-1 in terms of predicting a winner. In part, Chad, to what you said initially, is that this conference is arguably the best in the group of five. And, you know, by the numbers, it kind of showed itself to be.
And one of the two losses came to a Power Four conference. So even makes it even more impressive that in six of the seven games, and in fact, they did beat a couple of Power Four conferences as well. So in the end, I mean, even going deeper into those numbers, it showed that the AAC was very, very impressive during bowl season. And then you had Conference USA, not quite as impressive. They were able to go 1-3 during the course of the bowl season for that group, that league.
And, you know, the simulator was all over this league. It was 4-0, and there is one game left to be played in bowl season, and that involves a Conference USA team, and one of their better teams, Liberty, is taking on a MAC team, Buffalo, in the last game of the regular bowl season, which will be played today. So the simulator did itself proud here, 4-0, and Conference USA, not so much. The only team that was able to get out a win was the team that you and I have talked about this year, Sam Houston State, who last year started the season, their first year as a FBS team, 0-9. But they've had a very good year in their second go-about against this competition.
Then you have the Mid-American Conference, the MAC. And not bad, not bad at all. Four wins and two losses. You had Ohio, Northern Illinois, Toledo, Miami, all victorious. And Western Michigan and Bowling Green came up short, but both those games were fairly close. So, again, overall, pretty good from the MAC.
I'll tell you, I was impressed with what they did. You know, in the simulator, the MAC went 4-2 with one to play. Buffalo's got a shot at Liberty today, so they could get to 5-7, which would be awful good. And the simulator was on pace with them. It predicted a winner correctly four times. Two times it failed to identify. I know Bowling Green against Butch King, who was a coach at Tennessee for a while.
Butch Jones.
But yes. Yeah, I was going to say that does not sound right.
Butch King.
Usually I confuse him with Butch Davis, who was a coach at North Carolina for a while.
Right.
But all that aside, a good year for the MAC. And, you know, as we said, the simulator went 4-2 here.
Then you have the Mountain West, which is, of course, going to be much different in the near future. But not saying that the new Pac-12 is going to be a step below some of the other power conferences, but the Mountain West did not do very well, 1-4.
Yeah, 1-4. And the simulator was all over this one. The simulator, they played five games, and the simulator was 5-0. It predicted correctly in each of these games. I have to tell you, I thought the simulator was out of its mind, if it has one, when it picked Northern Illinois over Fresno. I thought there's no way they're going to beat Fresno. They did. South Florida was not. Miami of Ohio was kind of a flip-em game, you know. And then the Penn State-Boise State game, we were kind of on Penn State there. But nonetheless, Mountain West, to what you said, is very true. They struggled.
And the Sun Belt, not bad. Able to win more than they lose. Going 4-3 during the course of the during the bowl season. So again, another conference that you don't think of as one of the, even within the group of five being one of the top conferences, did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you know, and they have gradually been improving their kind of perception across the country. They've got some good teams, and the simulator had no problem identifying here, 5-2, picking the winners. And, you know, whether you're talking, South Alabama or James Madison, Arkansas State, Texas State, all of those teams are rising their status in terms of national perception. So it's becoming a league that's kind of now challenging the Mountain West for second place in a group of five behind the American.
And I guess finally, after all my criticism of the game simulator, it came up big, not just big, but just amazingly accurate during the group of five bowl season.
Yeah, well, you know, Chad, and you know as well or better than I, that as it gets more data, it gets a little more accurate. Mm-hmm. But it can be wildly off because of the preseason, the non-conference schedule, who you play, and, you know, it can really mess with the numbers. But anyway, you know, there were 32 games. We've still got two results out yet with what Buffalo and what Liberty do. But the game simulator, of the 30 opportunities that it had, it has correctly picked 25 winners to five losers. So this is one of the better years for the simulator in terms of predicting. Next week, we'll take a look at the Power Four and see how those conferences did and how the simulator did in predicting a winner.
Okay, so we will take a time out and talk a bit about the Power Four conferences and what they've been up to as well as we continue here on this Saturday morning. Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
It's hard to find great Italian food in Wausau unless you're familiar with Carmelo's Italian Restaurant. Established in 1986 by the Oliva family, three generations still strive to provide a family atmosphere and fine dining experience. Carmelo's is proud to serve authentic Italian made with fresh ingredients. Their recipes have been handed down from generation to generation. Reservations are recommended Tuesdays through Sundays, and they are closed on Mondays. Carmelo's Italian Restaurant, located at the base of Granite Peak on North Mountain Road, Wausau. Check them out at carmelositalian.com.
I only travel once or twice a year, but when I do, I go big. Exotic places, incredible hotels, new experiences. It has to be memorable. That's why I call Travel Leaders of Wausau. They get me, and they take care of all the details, so I don't have to worry about a thing.
Travel Leaders gets you, and we get you there. Travel better. Call Travel Leaders of Wausau at 715-355-4437.
And sand. Oh, can't forget the sandals and the right sunglasses.
It takes a lot to impress us at Jim Kreshock Jewelers. I mean, we see gorgeous diamonds, gemstones, and incredible jewelry every day that we've chosen for our selection. But when a diamond jewelry line like this one comes along, well, our eyes really widen up and our mouths drop open and our hearts beat a little faster. Yours will too when you stop in and check out our Fire and Ice collection of diamonds and diamond jewelry. Their slogan is bigger, brighter, whiter. And it's a difference you can see, which is the most important. Each Fire and Ice diamond is cut to maximize the performance of light coming into and leaving the diamonds to create amazing sparkle and brilliance. So whether you're planning on getting engaged or upsizing your current diamond, or just want something completely new with more sparkle and dazzle than you've ever seen before, stop in and check out our Fire and Ice collection. It's exclusively available right here at Jim Kreshock Jewelers at our one and only location on Rib Mountain Drive in Wausau.
Fire up the grill. Grilling season is once again upon us, my brothers. Can I get an amen? Unleash the party trays, the beef sticks, cheese and sausage trays. There's no holding back once sports season starts. Zillman's is the place to get all your party food. Get your steaks, hot dogs, brats, hamburger patties, even homemade beans. What are you waiting for? And they always have their gift certificates that never expire. Zillman's, since 1961. Our worst is the best. On 6th Street in Wausau.
Kemp Service Center was established in 1951 and to this day is still family owned. That's 70 years of serving the Wausau area with the best in auto and truck repair. Kemp Certified Mechanics service all makes and models, including imports. Don't wait to the last minute to get your oil changed. Kemp's can get the job done in no time. Kemp Service Center is open Monday through Saturday at the corner of North 6th Street and East Wausau Avenue in Wausau.
It's Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With Sully, I'm Chad Holmes. We just talked a lot about what's been going on with the Group of Five conferences when it's come to bowl season. Now the Power Four. And you got some wide variance when it comes to the results of the Power Four conferences. And the conference that is struggling the most is the Atlantic Coast Conference. Boy, I mean, they have 13 games, but only three victories.
Yeah, you know, and they really get bad-mouthed during the year. And unfortunately for them, this was an opportunity for them to tell some people, some of their critics, to, hey, man, sit down. But they did not. You know, they were only able to win three games. Syracuse beat Washington State 52-35. And then Iowa State, in arguably one of the best bowl games of the season, beat Miami 42-41. And then Louisville, in another great game, 35-34, they beat Washington. So, Chad, they were close to go 1-12.
Yeah, that's the All Coast Conference again struggling big time, and then you have a conference that's in the middle, hanging around the 500 break even mark. The new look Big 12 this year, and obviously it would have looked a lot better if their champion Arizona State would have found a way to get that one more play to defeat Texas. But in the end, they came up short. So 4-5 so far for the Big 12 conference.
Yeah, you know, and a tough loss to Memphis, who, if you recall, I had picked to be the Group of Five representative, not Boise, and Memphis started playing much better at the end. They handled Toledo pretty readily, and now they went into a pretty good West Virginia team who had lost their coach. Neil Brown is fired, and they brought in Rich Rod. You know, they kind of went back in time to see if they can resurrect.
Find the magic.
Yes, exactly right. And so that loss, I thought, hurt them a little bit. Then the Arkansas-Texas Tech game, that was two great coaches. You know, Joey McGuire, a high school guy at Texas, who's really well thought of and was elevated to the Texas Tech job. And then Sam Perkins,
Pittman.
Pittman. I'll be all right in the middle. I'll be all right at some point. Yes, thank you. Two guys that really are fun to listen to, yeah, and kind of, you know, throw back. Let's knock each other loose.
And even one of their wins, they got a loss in the game. Because the Colorado BYU game, so you got a win in it, but you also got a loss.
You know, that was something my son Michael was just complaining about. You know, that they should not do that. I think one of the issues you're going to probably see that going forward because of the number of teams in these conferences that don't play, and so quite frankly, Chad, I didn't know how to handle that. In other words, should I go 1-1? Should I just not count it? Because you're playing, you know, in this regard, you're playing a fellow conference member.
Ian, was that important?
Sorry, I was just asking if you wanted a 3 or 4 minute break at the top of the hour.
I can't read the small writing across. I thought maybe we had an issue, so I apologize, Sol, for interrupting that.
No, I mean, I was... You know, when Ian talks, that voice comes out of the abyss. You know,
in the other room, yep. Big Ten. Again, we talked earlier about how many games they have. I tell you, there's a lot of Big Ten teams involved in postseason activity, in both bowl games and then, of course, in the college football playoff. And they're 9-5. And I think, you know, combined the 9-5 record along with having a couple of teams in the semifinals, you have to say the Big Ten is making a claim for the best in 2024.
Oh, I think that they're right there. Now, how about this? The Notre Dame loss to Indiana, lost to Notre Dame 27-17. Score was a little bit, misconstrued in that it was not that close. But nonetheless, it's a 10-point loss. But then, how about this? Kansas State beat Rutgers 44-41. You had Missouri beating Iowa 27-24. And then Louisville beat Washington 35-34. So other than that Indiana game, the Big Ten could very well be sitting with only that one loss because of what they've done. Now, the same thing occurred with Ohio State and Oregon that occurred in the Big 12 when BYU played Colorado. You had to have a loser there. But the Big Ten has been outstanding. And even in their losses, I mean, those games could have went either way.
We got about 2.5 minutes to go. We got two more conferences to talk about.
Yeah, the independents.
You have the independents, and Notre Dame obviously doing its best, but also UConn was good as well.
I'll tell you, Jimmy Mora has done a great job at UConn. You know, Don Brown, the old Michigan coordinator, defensive coordinator, he and Mora went to UConn and to UMass the same year. And I thought, you know, Donnie is going to have to stop being so much of an ideologue where you blitz on or seem to blitz on every play. It didn't work out for Donnie. He was let go this year. But Jimmy Mora, on the other hand, has been gradually moving UConn up the ladder to where they beat North Carolina, who we both know athletically can line up and play, you know, with just about anybody.
And finally, the SEC, 8-6. And I mean, always the high expectations. There's nothing really wrong with 8-6. But if you're going to be the cock of the walk and strut around saying that we are college football, you got to do better than that, right?
Yeah, you know, and they have played the Big Ten on 4 occasions and are 0-4. You know, they have lost, they beat Missouri, beat Iowa, so they're 1-4. But nonetheless, Illinois won, Michigan won, Ohio State won, and I'm having a hard time counting and SC won. So, you know, 4-1, Big Ten against the SEC, which I'll tell you does not sit well down south. They're not going to like that at all.
And frankly, they're trying to take credit for Texas, and they're just brand new. I mean, I think a lot of people don't even think of them yet as an SEC team.
It's funny you mention that, because the guys that I meet with at the Mint prior to the show, they think that the Big Ten won the Rose Bowl. They beat the Pac-12. So they're with you in terms of, you know, you seeing Texas. That's exactly how they see Oregon.
We have another hour to go. We're going to talk a little more deeply about what we saw in these college football playoff games this past week, and really delve into what were the differences in terms of victory and loss for the four teams that are continuing along into the semifinals Thursday and Friday of next week. So we will have another hour to go. It is Sully's College Football Page on 98.9 WXCO.
Where did the good old days go? From going to the old A&W drive-in to cruising the strip in town, all things change, some things stay consistent. For almost 75 years, Redant Insurance in Rib Mountain has been providing quality service to its customers. One of the oldest agencies in the area. Your family and neighbors come here, now it's your turn. Call 715-845-9204. Click RedantInsurance.com or stop by 227501 Rib Mountain Drive. Redant Insurance Agency, our family helping yours.
Joe Rader Towing in Wausau offers 24-hour-a-day towing, blackout service, and roadside assistance throughout central Wisconsin. You can count on Joe Rader's experienced team to get to you fast. Family-owned and operated.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Meet all your goals with the help of the U.S. Army. You can explore three different GI Bill programs. The GI Bill helps pay for schooling, trainings, and certifications to support your career goals, both during and after your time at the Army. You'll need to serve 3 years to access its full benefits. Talk to an Army recruiter. They focus on finding motivated candidates who are passionate about military service and qualified to fill important positions. Talk to an Army recruiter and explore limitless options. Achieve more than you thought possible. The U.S. Army.
The Dirks Group started in 1999 as an alternative to traditional IT service providers. From the start, they focused on customized solutions for the needs of each client. Today, they serve over 400 customers from locations in Wausau and Eau Claire. Go to dirksgroup.com for more information.
Charity's Bar in Marathon City. Great food, great service, a great place to meet friends. Come on down and watch the game or just hang out. It's Charity's Bar on County Road and in Marathon City.